hard to speak with this covering on your face. And I'm glad I'm away from you so I can remove it. We are glad to see Sister Dennis. Thank you for coming. Not only coming to see Mom, but coming to the chapel today to remember the Lord and also to join us in the meeting here. We are sorry to see Sister Pam's hand. We'll continue to pray for you. We need to pray for Sweetie. She's having this back problem for the last many months. Suddenly, the shooting pain will start from the back, going to the leg. Today morning at 5 o'clock, 5:30, she started screaming because of the pain. That is the reason Beulah and Sweetie are not here. We need to keep them in our prayers. Sweetie is starting a new school in August in Pennsylvania, so she has to move to an apartment, college, studies, all this. A busy period ahead of her, so much prayer is needed. So please sincerely pray for her and the Timothy family. The Lord saved him in a wonderful way. Brother is here with us after the major heart attack. And I know some of the friends of mine, they didn't survive. Because one reason is, maybe it is the Lord's will, but one reason is they didn't get any help. One of my close friends, he was working in the field, in the yard, and cutting trees or removing branches. Suddenly he felt uneasiness. He came to the kitchen from the backyard, drank some orange juice. He felt okay. He went back. There he fell. And before the ambulance came, there he died. But Timothy had a similar situation, but he had that when he was in VCU. Can you imagine that? The right place. The Lord knows everything. We don't know how things happen and why things happen. And we will never know in this part of eternity. But in the presence of the Lord, one day when we reach, we will find meaning for everything that happened. Only He is eternal. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And we don't have that ability at the moment when we are in this part of the eternity. You know, we have two meetings now in the morning. Actually, we had three meetings because the virus took away one meeting from us. So now we have only two meetings. One is the remembrance meeting, the first meeting, and the second meeting is to preach the gospel and also to preach the word. The remembrance meeting is actually not meant to share our subjective experiences, or it is not meant to make a prayer request, or it is not meant for the exhortation of the assembly. The remembrance meeting is primarily in assemblies. It is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for our souls. He saved us from the pit of corruption and made us stand on a rock. And on that rock, solid rock, we stand. And He is God Almighty. And as we see here, Brother Jay says all, very often, He, in all things, He might have the preeminence. So the first meeting is basically what we do is primarily, but we can always, we have the flexibility for anything, but primarily the focus is the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary and the redemption and the forgiveness of sins that we have received through Him and the work that He accomplished on the Calvary. It is primarily for the satisfaction of the Lord. It is not for our satisfaction. It is not for our learning. It is not for primarily, I'm telling you, don't misunderstand me. It's not for our edification in that sense. We have Bible study meeting for all those things, but the primary focus is what the Lord has done for our souls. So it is for the satisfaction of the Lord. As we read in one of the verses, He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. And that happens in the fullest sense in that first meeting. It is different from praise and worship session. You know, every church has praise and worship. You can have praise and worship anytime, anywhere. We can have it in the church, we can have it at home, we can have as individuals, we can have as families, we can have as groups. It can anytime. But this first meeting, is to remember the Lord and to break bread. That is the primary focus and the purpose for which assemblies gather together. And the second meeting, what we have is we preach the gospel, we also preach the word. We are not underestimating the importance of the word of God in our life, because the Bible is very clear what the word of God can do in our life. It says that it is living. It is not just a book, it is living, it has life. It is living, it is powerful, and it is sharper than a sword. And also in Psalms 119, what we read about the word of God is, it is life-giving, it is strengthening, it is rewarding. Word of God can only strengthen our inner beings. Whatever we eat, whatever we do, it can nourish our bodies. But what can satisfy our inner being, our soul, is the word of God. So there is a lot of importance for the word of God. And we are not underestimating the importance of that. But I want to tell you this. I have seen in Christian churches two extremes. One extreme is one group of people, they meet together and they focus on the subjective experiences. The individual's life. One person, I had been to such churches too in the past. One person or sister or a brother will get up and share what happened in their life and how the Lord saved them from this, that, and all. This is all good. But the main focus is that, not the word of God. That is one extreme. But at the same time, there is another extreme. There is no importance for what is happening in your life. And we only preach theology on the other side. Great messages, great preaching, and absolutely no connection with what is happening in your day-to-day life. These are two extremes. I would say both these are equally wrong. You know, just like a bird cannot fly with one wing. I've seen in places people are so cruel, they break the wings of the bird because they don't want the bird to fly away. They want the bird to be in their house, in their compound. So they break, not both, but one of the wings. So the bird will start flying only in that compound. It cannot move. It cannot achieve its full potential. This is what happens when we give priority to one thing alone. We ignore what is happening in our day-to-day life, and we only focus on the word of God. Don't mistake me, it is important. I'm not underestimating the importance of the word of God. But if you focus only on word of God and don't express or don't even share what is happening in our day-to-day life and how the Lord is leading us and how he's showing his presence in our day-to-day struggles, that is equally bad in my opinion. Perhaps you may differ, but that is what I believe. These are equally important for us to have a successful Christian life. On the one side, we should be hearing and practicing the word of God. At the same time, we should be seeing the hand of God working in our lives. And if we cannot see that, if we cannot experience how the Lord is helping us in our struggles, in our day-to-day problems and difficulties as we face, it will be very hard to lead a Christian life. Many assemblies are dying. Not because there is no preaching, because they cannot relate with each other. There is nothing. They come, sit, listen, and go. So that is a bad trend on another extreme that you see. These are two extremes I have found. These are my personal observations. You can differ, there is no doubt about it. Two extremes, but we need to have a balance in all these. So it is true that we give importance for the word of God. It is true that we need to preach the word. At the same time, we should never, ever ignore what is happening in our day-to-day life. And there has to be a time for that. The first meeting is not meant for that, primarily. There has to be a time for that. When we have testimonies, we 99% of the time, we only share how the Lord saved us. That is wonderful. It has to be the way. We should do that. But at the same time, A believer should also testify how the Lord is leading him or her in this day-to-day life. Whether he is experiencing the hand of God, the presence of God in his day-to-day life. That is also equally important, and there has to be a different time for that. And we thought it is appropriate, today we don't have a speaker assigned, and we thought it is appropriate for us to take this time, especially when we have come to the end of the year. The brother mentioned that it's the last Lord's Day in 2020. And I talked to some brothers whether they would like to share an experience that happened in their life where they could see the hand of God, the power of God, a near-death experience or something like that. You know, some of us, 50 years of age, 40 years of age, 60, 70, 80, in this life journey, we would have passed through many situations in our lives where we could experience the hand of God. If nothing happened, well and good. But I think most people, because we are not angels, we are human beings, we are subjected to limitations, and we have all the problems that other people in this world have got. We also have a whole thing. We are no exception. Because we are believers, that means that we are living in a different world? No. We are not angels. We are not conformed to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus, but that is going to happen in the future. So today we have struggles, like everyone else has got struggles. We also have struggles. We also have problems. We also have difficulties in our lives. But are we experiencing the hand of God in our day to day? How we are experiencing the hand of God? Are we willing to share those things with others? You know, God works through different means. I just want to mention this one thing. We have Old Testament and New Testament. As far as in the Bible, as far as the doctrine is concerned, it is a New Testament doctrine that we follow. Why? Because Old Testament is a shadow. And the fulfillment of those things we see in the New Testament. So when the new came, the old is done away. But at the same time, do we ignore the Old Testament? Never. We cannot ignore the Old Testament. So as far as the doctrine is concerned, or many of the practices are concerned, we rely totally on the New Testament. But there are certain principles, certain instructions that we see in the Old Testament. They are still valid. And they were valid. They are still valid. And we need to follow that. You know, I just want to give one example as far as the doctrine is concerned. We don't have a separate group of people called priest. That is Old Testament. We don't see Baba or Charles or other brothers coming with a separate robe, with a belt and with a cap and, you know, officiating something. We don't see that because we are all priests. All brothers and sisters, they are priests. But priesthood was assigned to a separate class of people. But if you look at in the Old Testament, but if you look at Christianity as a whole, we can see the same thing today. There's a separate class of people designated as priests, and their work is to do the priestly work in the church when the church comes together. That is what we don't follow, because when the New Testament came, the Old Testament is done away. In the same way, the place of worship. Worship was in the temple. That is where the presence of the Lord was promised. But now, that is done away. The thing that we read in the New Testament is, wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So there are so many things as far as the doctrine is concerned. It is the New Testament because we are living in the New Testament age, in this dispensation of grace, where we follow the New Testament. We don't follow the Old Testament practices or Old Testament doctrine, which was primarily given to the people of Israel, not for the Gentiles. There are so many things in that connection. That is not our focus today. So why I'm saying this is, doctrine is important. At the same time, there are certain practices, certain principles that we see in the Old Testament. As Christians, we need to follow that. I want to show you two verses which are very familiar. Brother Jay read this verse in the morning. One is from, both are from Psalms in the Old Testament. I just want to go through those verses. One is Psalms 34, I think verse 2. No, verse 4. Psalms 34, verse 4. What do we read here? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It is not that I am sitting in my home and doing something. Who is telling this? King David is telling. And the, I don't want to get into the background of this, but I want to just mention why he's saying this. There's a reason why he's saying this. Because he was saved from death. And he is telling to his fellow believers, other people, 400 of them. This is the background of this verse. David, Saul was after David to kill him. All the time he was chasing him. And David himself said, one day I will die at the hand of Saul. That is what he thought. And fearing Saul, he ran away one day, David. But where did he reach? He fell into the camp of the enemies. And they caught him. And they brought him to the king, King Achish of Gath or Gath. And he knew that is the last day that he is going to live in this world. Because he is the enemy. And they knew him. He is the one who killed their fellow men, Goliath. That is this guy. We got him now. They arrested him. They put him, the David. And David said, this is the last day of my life. Or this is what he thought. I am not going to see anyone after this day. That was the last day, literally, David thought he would live in this world. But that was not God's plan. He saved him in a very unique way from the hand of that enemy king. He ran away from there and came into a cave. And he called all his fellow men. About 400 of them, they came and sat in the cave. And there he is telling them, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How he saved me from this death. He's not talking about the salvation of his soul. He's talking about how he saved him physically from death. That is the background of this verse. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He's encouraging others to exalt his name because what he has done in my life. We see a principle there. What is the principle? It's the Old Testament, true. But a principle which is valid, not only in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament. The same thing happens to many of us. Maybe we would have faced some near-death situations in our life. I had one like that. But the Lord saved me, and I never told this. Why? I can definitely say this. Brothers, sisters, all have such experiences in their lives they go through. You know, I want to tell you this. God works through different means. Sometimes we think that it is only through powerful messages and preaching God can convert people. He can use simple means to save souls. Just a song is enough for the conversion of a man. Just one word is enough for the conversion of another man. Not necessarily a 1 hour preaching. But 1 hour preaching also is good. Through that also God can work. But the point which I'm trying to make is, he works through different means. We don't know that. He can work through our testimonies. He can work through what God has done in our lives when we share that. That can have a powerful impact in the life of another person, in the believer, or a person. So that can change their life. So what I'm trying to say is, we have such an opportunity today. I was just creating a background for that. We have an opportunity in the last day of this year, but we don't have time for all of us to share. Probably when we don't have a speaker, another occasion we can use for that. But today, some of our brothers would like to share one near-death experience or something similar to that happened in their life and God saved them. Or they could experience the hand of God. This could have... An incident that happened prior to salvation or after salvation, both have importance. You know, something that happened in the life of a brother prior to he is saved, that could have taken away from his life. He would have never got saved in his... He is lost for eternity. But the Lord saved him from that, and that gave him an opportunity later on in his life to know him. So any incident, any brothers, if you can think of that, it's a good way to strengthen one another and edify one another along with the word of God. So I thought it's good that if we can share one experience, no need for preaching, maybe one experience where we could experience the power of God. And I want to start, that is the reason for this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And there is another verse that came to my mind which brother said, that is from Psalms 103 verse 2. Look at the latter part. Forget not all his benefits. Is it changed? It is not changed. Whether you are living in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it is the same. It applies to us even today. Forget not all his benefits. It's an instruction. Forget not all his benefits. And who we are as human beings, we are a forgetful people. We forget. We keep forgetting everything what God has done in our life. But commandment and instruction to us, forget not his benefits. And that is what we thought, that perhaps since we don't have a speaker and God has given us an opportunity like this, we can. I just want to take 2 minutes to share one of the experiences that I personally had. If that happened in my life, I will not be standing here today. This happened 10 years ago. I was in my workplace. There were only 2 people in the office that time. I was in my office and my boss was in his office in the next room. We have a fairly large warehouse. Scott knows this because our people go to his company to take care of the UPS systems. That is what my company where I work, they do. UPS system is uninterruptible power management system. It is hooked up to computers. So if the power goes, that kicks in and gives power to the computer. So there will not be any interruption of power for the computer. Basically, which is not designed for homes or small places, but hospitals. Suppose the surgery is going on and the power goes, what happens? So this uninterruptible power supply system, these are hooked up to the computers, that gives power and that gives light. Because it is almost the same function of a generator. But generator takes time. It takes a little time for the generator to start. But this one, instantaneous power. So as soon as the power goes, this kicks in, there is no interruption. That is why it is called uninterruptible power supply system. These units sometimes can be very large units. One day what happened, I was in the office. About 11 o'clock in the morning, one of our technicians, he brought a unit. You know weight of the unit? 40,000 pounds. And he brought the unit in a truck. That truck can, you know, it has a lift gate. It can slide, it can go up the front so that you can slide the unit slowly to the lift gate and then you can, with a forklift, you can take the unit back in the warehouse. That was the plan. I'm not a technician, I never worked in those things, I never went to assist anyone. Because nobody else was there, this man brought that unit and he parked his truck facing our warehouse. So the unit was, and he came and he called me, hey Jay, he calls me Jay. Jay, can you come and just help me? I will lift this, the platform so that it can slowly slide and then we can take the unit on the forklift and take it inside. I said, I don't know anything about this. I'll call my boss also. He knows better than me. And I called him. And we both came out because nobody else was there. And he brought the unit there and he went inside the truck to lift the unit. And I was standing here. My boss was standing here. You know what was behind us? A 15, 20,000 pound forklift. We can't go backward. The side is a wall, this side is a forklift, there's nothing, the place where we are standing, that is the place. And the truck was there, he lifted more than what he was supposed to lift, and the 40,000 unit, it fell within seconds, even we couldn't think that it is coming that fast. It fell straight to me and my boss. We could not move backward because it was holding us, this forklift was preventing us from moving backward. And I was doing like this, and my boss was standing like this. It fell just in front of us. 40,000, you know, we would have crushed to death, we both, that moment. We had only some scratches. The distance between that unit and where I stood, where my boss stood, is just a couple of inches. There is nobody even to save us from that unit. Because you cannot recognize once we go under the unit, a 40,000 pound metal unit falls on a human being of 100 pound or 70 pound, what is there? I keep saying, Susie keeps telling me that even if you just fall, slip and fall in your bathroom or in your room, see what happened to Sister Pam, it immediately breaks. I was telling Susie yesterday, she just slipped, just came out of the bathroom and just slipped, just fell. I said, that is enough. This unit is not needed. But I was thinking that day, you know, I would not have been here today. Nothing would have happened in the last 10 years in my life. I would have been gone. And I thought of what David said in Psalms 150. He said, will the dust praise you? Will those who go down into Sheol, only those who have life can praise God. Only those who have life can testify his goodness. So when you have life, when you can breathe, the Lord has given us the time to testify his goodness. You know what happens is, what happens in our life is, it's not that nothing is happening in our life. We fail to recognize what is happening in your life. That is what is happening. That's why we are not able to share. It's good. It is good to share those things. So I just shared what happened in my life. The Lord would have said so many other people also similar ways, but that is not my point. My point is what happened to me personally. And that helped me to survive. This happened 10 years ago. I was in that company for 5 years. Now I'm 15 years in that company, but after 5 years this happened, such a major thing. Nobody would have known what happened to us. And I thank God. Is it true? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I shared with some of our brothers that if you have maybe number of experiences we may have, but we should never be ashamed of testifying the goodness of the Lord. Whether it happened prior to salvation or after salvation, if we have an opportunity, just like we are talking to others, we are not preaching. Even that incident can work in the heart and the mind of another person. Even though we are not powerful speakers, what the Lord has done in our life, physical life I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how the Lord saved me from eternal damnation. That is on the one side is true, but I'm talking about what happens after that. But at the same time, we all go through many struggles, many problems. We are not ignoring that, but at the same time, if we recognize those things, it's good to testify. And we have an opportunity for that. We don't have time for all of us to share today. So I spoke to a couple of brothers, and Baba will share maybe a couple of minutes, and then Jay, and then Charles will conclude this, and probably we all can exalt his name for what the Lord has done in the lives of our brothers and our sisters in the assembly. Praise be.